Hi, my name is Ellen and I'm an addict. And first I want to thank the South Potomac area to come and ask me to come and share my experience, strength, and hope on the 12th step. Just to qualify myself, my clean date is February 16th, 1990. My home group is the One Step at a Time group, which is located in D.C. on 14th and Decatur at the Metro Bus Barn. So we're there every Friday, so you're in town. We'll be there every Fridays at 7 o'clock. And I wanted to share this real quick because the guy at the main speakers meeting alluded to it. I was told I cursed too damn much. So I'm going to try to work on that tonight. So I'm really going to refrain. So if you hear some strange words come out my mouth, because I'm really trying to learn to be a better person. But here to talk about the 12th step. And before I can get to the 12th step, I have to share my experience, strength, and hope on when I came into the rooms, because I had no spirit. I had no life. I was totally miserable. I was sick, wearing two pair of pants. And I honestly was in a lot of denial about my addiction. You know what I'm saying? Because my perception of an addict was the person that was homeless, living outside, you know, around the fire barrel. Because I was one of those, you know, kind of functional addicts. You know, I was one that would keep, you know, used and used. But I would leave right before the marshals would come and, you know, put my stuff out. You know, I would keep a job or I would quit the job right before they would fire me, you know, and I did all those things in new lovers and new towns. And I did all those things because I didn't want to feel a deal. I didn't want to feel a deal or get to know Ellen at all. I didn't know who Ellen was. I wore a lot of masks. My mother got sick when I was in maybe the fifth grade. And I didn't know much about breast cancer, you know, back then. This is what, you know, back in the 70s. And she was in and out of the hospital a lot. You know, that was my best friend. You know, and the one person that truly understood me, the one person that truly always supported me, the one person that always stood beside me, and the one person that loved me for who I really was, you know, as a little girl. And when she died in 82 from breast cancer, you know, it was hard for me to deal with those feelings, you know. So I used to them. And then using to those feelings, you know, that took me into a whole new world, you know. I did everything to not want to feel anymore. So I ended up doing my bottom in Atlanta. And when I got to Atlanta, my brother, who I'm real close to, had come into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, you know. And he kept calling me and telling me about, you know, this program that I need to try. And I'm like, no, you need to try that because you're the bad one. I'm not the bad one. I'm not that bad. I'm all right. I'm still I'm thinking I'm functional. You know what I'm saying? My face is sunken in. I'm wearing, right now, I'm still wearing two pair of pants because I ain't that bad yet. And we had a family reunion in Atlanta. And he came down there. And while he was there, he was able to go to some meetings. He got some contacts, got some phone numbers. You know, so when I was ready, he called these people and they came to my rescue and introduced me to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and by the time I got here, I was totally had no feeling, no life. I didn't know who I was. And what happened was, I did all those things y'all told me to do. You know, I went to a meeting, I got a sponsor, I got phone numbers, but I wasn't ready. I was not ready to surrender to this disease yet. And I went back out and used. And, but I had a taste of y'all in my head by now, so since I got a taste of y'all in my head, you know, that finding, that the ultimate blast, I just couldn't get it anymore. because I'm hearing y'all in all in my head. Don't use. Keep coming back. It's going to be all right. One day at a time. And at this point in my life, because I'm a daddy's little girl. My father didn't have nothing to do with me. You know. And my brother had to call and beg my father to come and get me. By now, I'm living in Atlanta with a boyfriend. We're going 50 miles an hour. He convinced my father to finally come and get me. And he brought me back to D.C. area. And I was introduced to the rooms again in the District of Columbia. And that's where I was introduced to my sponsor. I was introduced to a network of women. And they got me started on step work right away. You know what I'm saying? Because they knew I needed some help. You know what I'm saying? Because I did all those things necessary. All the things, all the places, towns, lovers, everything. So when I started being introduced to step work, I started to get to know Ellen all over again. You know, and the first step tells me, just stop. Just stop. And then I can honestly see how unmanageable I had really become. Unmanageability doesn't have nothing to do with finances. And unmanageability had everything to do with my feelings. And how to manage my feelings, because that's what I used to for all those years. And after learning how unmanageable I was, I really understood the second step a little better to help me know that I'm not as crazy as I thought I was. Well, you know, I still have some crazy thoughts, but, you know, they get a little better. You know, because sometimes I'll be riding all up in here. And y'all always told me to, you know, open the door, turn off the light, close the door, come downstairs. So, you know, when I'm ready to go off in my head, you know, take somebody with me. And that's what I did. And I was starting to become a little bit more trusting and have a little bit more faith in you people, because by the time I got here, I was not a person who was all in touch with God or had that spirit type. You know, I was mad at God when I got here because he took my mother from me. You know, so when y'all talk about this higher power, that's kind of like what I gravitated to, was that higher power, because I was mad at God. And I got in touch with a higher power, someone loving and caring and greater than myself that could help me. And that third step let me know that I could start making some better decisions for myself, you know, as long as I had this loving and caring God to have trust in you people in the rooms of Lacan's Anonymous that helped me better understand choices that I can make today. And the fourth step helped me to take that inventory about myself, see who I was, helped me to write. Because I'm one of those people who have to see things, you know what I'm saying? So writing for me helped me better understand Ellen and who Ellen was. And got to know me a little bit better by just writing down all those things, you know, and understand I suffer from low self-esteem, low self-worth. And I can better see Ellen for who she really was. And then I had to share it with another human being and my higher power. And I shared my experiences with my sponsor, you know. And I thank God for my sponsor, because she has a very loving and caring heart, you know, helped me to better understand and see where Ellen was and who Ellen is and get to know Ellen all over again. And I didn't have a problem sharing everything that I needed to share with her. And she shared some things with me about herself and our relationship. And this is where I know relationships really start getting a lot better, because my relationships started to get better only because Ellen was getting better. And in the sixth and seventh step, I became a little bit more aware of those character defects, became a little bit willing to help let the higher power do some more work on me, and started to let go and let God. And that's what I did. You know, I have bad road rage, and I have to talk about this, because I share about this all the time. This is one of my character defects, okay? Because I'm the type of person, I like to leave home, like, right on time. So I know if I have to get to work and be in a certain place, it only takes about 10 minutes to drive. But I'm not including rush hour. I'm not including grandma and grandpa that has to go to their morning appointments. You know, they drive a little on the slow side, right? So from my house to my job really does take a half an hour in rush hour traffic. But I'm still leaving my house like 10 minutes before I need to be to work, you know. And then I'm going through traffic like a maniac. You know, so I really had to learn to let go and let God. You know what I'm saying? And how he did that for me was he had a cop pull me over, speeding down 95. Well, the sign said 95, so I thought, you know, do 95 on 95, right? Isn't that what the sign said? 95, not going 95. Well, he says, here goes your $95 ticket for going 95 down 95. And I thank God for that cop today, because to be honest with you, they sent me to traffic school, okay? Still had to pay the ticket and the fine and the court fees. But what happened was in that class, I came open a little better to understand, you know, when you're operating a two-ton or one-ton vehicle, how much that can just cause harm to someone. And I love myself, you know. So today, what I do is I leave a half an hour early so I can get to work a half an hour early. You know what I'm saying? I'm no longer that one putting up my finger, my middle finger, because you're on time and you're driving like you're supposed to. Okay? And that's kind of like the seventh step for me. You know, so it's kind of, you know, getting out of my way. Eighth step, I wrote that list. Ninth step, I was able to make amends and let people know that I was truly sorry for things that I did and said, because I'm one of the type of person, I have a really bad forked tongue. And so a lot of my hurt was through my tongue. You know, I lash out at people through my tongue. And I'm not trying to do that today, because I am now standing in other people's shoes and hearing how people talk to people. And I know today that I don't want to be talked like that, you know. So what I'm doing is I'm changing me. I'm understanding me now. And then those last three steps are your maintenance steps. So now I'm doing a lot of maintenance on Ellen, because I've done some work on Ellen. I'm changing. I'm now being awoken with this spirit, okay? And I'm a little more aware of me and how I'm doing things. And in some direction of where I know my higher power wants me to go today. And some of those things I know my higher power wants me to do today. I know that's why I'm here today. Because my work is not finished. And so the 10th step, I just kind of taking that daily inventory, take a look at my day, see where I need to make corrections, see if I caused any harm, make amends immediately. 11th step, I'm praying and meditating, better understanding a clear message from my higher power, what direction he wants to take me into, what direction he wants me to go, how he wants me to do it, and understanding that I need y'all people to do that. So he's putting people in my life now to help me on these directions or these things that he wants me to do. And that's what I'm trying to do today. And I'm trying to become a better Ellen because of this. And in the 12th step, you know, breaking this 12th step down, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, I'm able now to sit still long enough to understand what it is I need to do for me today, you know. And that's to help the dummy. And I'm the dummy. You know what I'm saying? I'm the one that needs the most help today. And I've had a spiritual awakening because these steps have helped me better understand me now. I have become a better person because of these steps now. Now, the God of my understanding has brought people in my life, and I sponsor women today. So now I'm also that prime example as well, and carrying the message. And that's how the second part really talk about in the 12th step, you know, is carrying the message to the addict. But first of all, I was that addict that needed to have that message. So I was that newcomer that sat out there and needed to hear the message and not the mess. You know, I needed to hear those things that's going to help me to become a better person so that I too can carry the message to the newcomer or even to the old timer to get some help. Because some days, and I mean some days, I'm the one that really needs the help. And so what I've done, and I have, you know, being able to address me, and because of addressing myself, I have become a better person today. I'm not that old Ellen that walked in the room almost 26 years ago. You know what I'm saying? I've taken off the mask. Everything you see right here is me. I don't have to hide behind this mask, that mask. I don't have to hide behind this image, that image. What you see is what you get today. I'm not claiming I'm perfect. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad I'm not. But I am better today. I'm no longer cursing you out just because you didn't get out of my way. You know, I'm learning not to curse today. So I am getting better with my words. You know, so that can carry that clear message of hope to the addict who's still suffering, wherever it's the old timer, the new timer, or just for me. And that's kind of part of that part of the second part of the 12th step is carrying the message to the addict. And now that I'm carrying the message and the message has been carrying to me, now I have to practice these principles on all my affairs. You know, and when I start practicing all these principles, like I said, I have to, you know, carry, you know, the message. I have to be the one, you know, to, you know, not be in a meeting knowing that there's newcomers in there and I'm cross-talking, you know, I'm walking back and forth in the meeting, I'm walking out of the meeting before the meeting is over. You know, what I'm trying to do is to be more honest, open-minded and willing today. And part of this, part of the principles when it comes to carrying that message in the 12th step. And so what I'm trying to do today is be an open and honest person, because I'm some days am the one who needs the help, the most help. So when it comes to that 12th step, I have to encompass all the steps, all the principles, and being able to become a better person so that I can carry that message. Because that's what the old timer did for me, or the seasoned person did for me. As I know some people don't like that word, you know, but it was those old timers, those seasoned people, who showed me, you know, how to become a young lady. You know what I'm saying? And get into service work. I mean, I know when I was probably barely 6 months clean, my sponsor had me raise my hand, and I raised my hand. They told me to put my hand down. I put my hand down. They told me to shake my head. I shook my head. Next thing you know, they all clapping and all this. And next thing I know, I got a service position. Now, mind you, I couldn't even open up my mouth the first 6 months when I got here. So, getting that first service position, it was a secretary's position. I've been in service ever since. For me, that's part of giving it back, as it was so freely given to me. I'm not one of those circuit speakers, and I'm not one of those that, you know, go around speaking all these meetings and talking all this good stuff. I'm just Ellen, who shares her experience, strength, and hope the only way that I know how, because this is my story. And this is what I do in the 12th step. And that's, you know, to carry these principles in all my affairs, just like those seasoned people did for me to help me understand that this is what you do. This is how you do it. This is the way that we do it, because we've been doing it so long that this is what works for us. And I'm not trying to go out of the grain to do that, because, you know, sometimes, no, I mean, let me be honest, it's an honest program. Because, see, I like running stuff. I do. I have one of those controlling type personalities, and my thing is, you need to be going my way or we ain't going at all. But what I'm learning today is, Ellen, you need to sit your little butt down, shut up, put the cotton out of your ears, put it in your mouth so you can listen to get some help today. You know, and I don't always have to be that controlling person running stuff, because when I realize I ain't running crap, because that's what's got me in that seat of Narcotics Anonymous, because of my will. You know, but God has another plan for me today. And His plan is for me is to carry the message. And that message is hope. And the promise is freedom. And today, I can honestly say I'm a better person because of these 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. And practicing these principles in all of my affairs helps me to become a better person, not only in the rooms, but most importantly outside the rooms, because I am so much a better employee. I am a so much better sister. I am a really good friend, and I'm a very loving person. And becoming helpful, not only in the rooms of the Narcotics Anonymous, but outside the rooms, you know, doing community type things, you know, helping the elderly, all those things I would have never done if I was using. So practicing these principles in all my affairs is not just in the rooms of the Narcotics Anonymous, it's in all areas of my life. You know what I'm saying? And because of that, I carry the message. And whatever message that is for that day, or for that person, that's what I'm doing. I'm carrying the message. All because of the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous, you people, my higher power, and my sponsor, who's giving me guidance today to help me better understand who I am. And I am so much a better person. I am not that person when I walked in these rooms a little over 26 years ago. You know, because when I got here, I was a mess, y'all. Today, I don't have to wear 2 pair of pants. Okay. I got a lot of good recovery going on here. Okay. You know, because of being responsible, too. I hate being responsible. That is one of my defects that I'm still working on. Because I know I like responsibility. You know what I'm saying? So I'm learning to be responsible, most importantly, to me and for me. And taking care of me. Because after being around here a few 24 hours, you know, I had a major tragedy 2 years ago. I lost 2 aunts, an uncle, my fiance, and 2 really close friends of mine in Narcotics Anonymous within a 9-month period. And you talking about practicing some principles? You talking about working some steps? If it wasn't for you people and these steps, honestly, I don't know where I would be today. But because of these steps, I got through that. And the most important thing about it is, I didn't use. So the newcomers sitting in here today and don't quite know if they're in the right place or if this is for them or, you know, are you doing the right thing? You're right where you're supposed to be. And I understand that now because, you know, I was kind of angry at God one more time. He took someone very dear and close to me again. But what I found out was he wasn't finished with me yet. And what he has done for me is he removed some people out of my life because he wants me to continue down this journey. He's brought new people into my life to help me down this journey. And I thank God for you people, these rooms are Narcotics Anonymous, and the 12 steps to help me become a better Ellen. Thanks for letting me share.